motivated to get involved in their local food system. And certainly the region you're in is very rich with folks working in the food movement and farmers markets and CSAs.
That's all we have time for today, but thank you. Those are great resources, and I hope that some of our listeners get out there and check out the responsiblefoods.org website. Wolf from Alderson, thank you so much for the great work you're doing and for being with us today on Health
Watch. Thank you. My pleasure. And health to everyone.
Thank you. You've been listening to Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, your host, licensed acupuncturist.
Good morning. It is almost 11:30, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up in a couple of weekends, the KCI Institute Vision Van is coming to the Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine Founders Clinic on Saturday, February 27th. Free vision screenings and glasses will be provided to Clackamas County low-income residents who do not have vision insurance, without access to health care. A limited number of appointments are available on Saturday, February 27th at the Founders Clinic in Oregon City. The services are for people needing glasses or who have health issues related to diabetes, macular degeneration, or glaucoma. Pre-registration is required. Call 503-722-4400 to schedule an appointment. And coming up next is Health and Healthcare Forum with Roberta Hall.
The 18th Annual Homelessness Marathon Broadcast, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
I think it would be pretty startling for the majority of the public to know that within about two blocks from the White House itself, there are homeless people sleeping in parks.
This year, we'll be live from the streets of Washington, D.C. That's the Homelessness Marathon broadcast, coming to you soon and heard right here on this radio station.
This station is KBOO Portland. Hear the Homelessness Marathon live beginning at 5 p.m. Wednesday, February 17th, and continuing until 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Youth Summit, taking place February 12th and February 13th. At the Blazers Boys and Girls Club in Portland. February 12th will feature a workshop called Healing Ourselves to Raise Our Future and a performance by spoken word artist S. Renee Mitchell. February 13th will feature workshops on topics ranging from becoming an MC to healthy living to information on going to Africa. That evening, the summit will close with a youth talent showcase. Again, that's the Portland Youth Summit, February 12th and 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to the Health and Healthcare Forum. I'm Roberta Hall. In these programs, we present new information or new insights about old and new health issues. We consider everything from community efforts to improve and extend health care to all people, to environmental issues that threaten us all, and to discussions with those individuals and their ideas that can move us forward in the search for health. On January 25th, I attended a forum titled Building a Healthier Community. It was about creating physical and social environments that have features that help residents maintain better health. It was a high-level group of speakers, about a dozen. It included a representative of the Oregon Health Authority, the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, county employees from Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln, and social service and health workers from these counties. Took place in Albany, Oregon, but there will be similar ones across the state. It turns out that a stimulus for this community conversation came from the expansion of the Oregon Health Plan, which happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act. Change any system and the ripples extend quite far. As some of the speakers at this forum see it, the expansion of Medicaid, the Oregon Health Plan, which now provides medical insurance for 25% of the Oregon population, that's changed the focus of our public health departments, too. These public health workers are eager to spend more time addressing the social determinants of health, and thus they can address more directly the causes of health disparities. Any one of the 100 or more attendees probably had a different perspective of the four-hour program that had these dozen speakers with different backgrounds and roles. I normally prefer to have an expert do the explaining, but the problem is we'd be hearing from people for the next 10 hours if we did that. So this little half-hour program is just an introduction to some of the ideas. Let's listen to Dr. Kevin Ewen-China's introductory comments.
We're all here this morning because we want the best for our communities, and we're also intrigued on how we can get there collaboratively. If you look again, aligning for better health, aligning is such a good, positive action word. And better health, who could argue against the need for better health for all of us? We want to go through this journey of life as healthy as we can. And in order to do this, it's really, really important to understand the basic building blocks of health. We may have seen pie graphs in the past that outline the factors that influence our health outcomes. And 10% is our genetics, our DNA. It's what makes us. 25% is the influence of the healthcare system, meaning the doctors we go to, the hospitals we may be admitted to. But over 50%, well over 50% now, is our lifestyle. And what are the building blocks of many of those lifestyle factors? The social determinants of health are those building blocks. According to the World Health Organization, the social determinants of health are the conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age. And these circumstances, by the distribution of money, power, and resources at a global level, a national level, and here at our local level. The social determinants of health are responsible for health inequities, the unfair and avoidable differences in health status seen within and between countries. Nationally, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion have a goal of creating social and physical environments that promote good health for all. Health starts in our homes, our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods and communities. We know that taking good care of ourselves by eating well and staying active, not smoking, getting the recommended immunizations and screening tests, seeing a doctor or healthcare provider when we're sick, they all influence our health. But our health is also determined in part by access to social and economic opportunities. The resources and supports available in our homes, our neighborhoods and communities, the quality of our schooling, the safety of our workplaces, the cleanliness of our water, food, and air, and the nature of our social interactions and relationships. And all these conditions in which we live explain in part why some Americans are healthier than others, and why Americans more generally are not as healthy as they could be.
Here's some more background. Many of us know that the cost of housing has become one of the major household expenses over the past 6 or 8 decades. And good housing in many areas is all too scarce. Even people with median incomes have a hard time finding decent housing that they can pay for. And for those with lower incomes, it's almost impossible. Some government programs, federal, state, and local, have been developed to offer supplemental rent for low-income families, and some units of what are called affordable housing have been built. Affordable housing has always bothered me as a term because I always wonder how it's calculated, but here, one of the panelists, Bill Hall, a Lincoln County commissioner, tells us what it means very specifically.
Basically, we're talking about housing that's affordable to families earning 60% or less of the area median income. By affordable, that means that they're paying 30% or less of their income for that housing. If you pay more than 30%, then I believe it's a Census Bureau definition or a HUD definition, you're considered to be cost burdened. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Many people at this forum talked about different agencies collaborating with services and also about aligning services. But any new term or a term that's applied in a different way takes time to absorb. I asked Donna Holt, the director of the Lynn Benton Housing Authority, to help us understand what aligning services means.
So, Donna, explain to me what you think alignment means as it's talked about here.
Well, I can talk about what I think the difference is in collaboration and alignment. Collaboration is folks coming together to find a solution. Alignment is actually attaching and utilizing those services in a certain order for the specific needs of an individual. So aligning the services or things that are necessary for success for that individual.
Rather than a community basis that you're thinking of aligning, and one of the providers might take the lead and...
I think it would take a group. It would take a group that understands the different elements available from different providers. And it could be a broad, if you look at it in a bigger picture, it could be a broader spectrum. It could be aligning. Housing is just a generic term for a lot of us that do development or provide affordable housing. And it could be aligning medical services, which is a lot of different entities of medical needs. So you could do it from a big picture, but when you talk about getting down to services for a family or a person, an individual, you really have to look at aligning exactly what their needs are. So you could do it on big picture or small picture.
It's just a new term to me at this meeting today. We seem to have a lot of organizations. Can you just mention a few of the types?
We have, well, mine, Lynn Benton Housing Authority. We administer a federal program for rental assistance, and we develop housing. Willamette Neighborhood Housing is a nonprofit, and they do housing development as well and manage. CSC, Community Services Consortium, just as a broad array of services from housing assistance to home rehab, some rental assistance, and just a job training, financial education, renter education, just I could go on. So there are so many diverse groups here that it makes for a healthy collaboration, a coming together of a lot of people.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
In Oregon, businesses called coordinated care organizations have been set up to take charge of the now about 1 million enrollees covered by the Oregon Health Plan. These healthcare groups integrate diverse services in what are called medical homes, networks that offer all the types of health services that society has developed in separate ways, from dentistry to orthopedics to psychiatry and everything in between. The goal is to serve the whole person and integrate these services appropriately. Not only that, these organizations, we learned at this forum on the 25th of January, these organizations and their partners are now considering factors that help a person be healthy, the social determinants that Dr. Kevin Imanchina talked about early on. Things such as the condition of the house where they live, access to good food, lower high stress of a neighborhood, access to parks, buses, schools, and playgrounds. In this forum, the relationship between health and housing received particular attention. There were two major panel discussions, one featuring housing experts and one on health. My program usually focuses on health, so to give balance, this time I'll start with housing. And remember, we're hearing short excerpts from people who are involved in these topics up to their ears, so this is just a primer. Kenny LaPointe of Oregon Housing and Community Services introduced the second panel, the housing panel.
So my job is to work across the state of Oregon and bring conversations in other sectors into this housing world. I've focused specifically on CCOs, early learning hubs, workforce investment boards, and also sit at the table of regional solutions teams. I'm really excited that we have such a great array of folks in the room here today. We've got political leaders. We've got folks from the Early Learning Hub that are here. We've got, obviously, folks from the healthcare world. We've got folks from housing and social services. We've got statewide policy advocates in the room. From these different sectors that we work in, we all speak completely different languages. We have wide arrays of acronyms that we use. Sometimes they cross over. And so it really takes a little bilingual or translation to happen in order for us to understand what we do and understand where we can sort of meet in the middle. So that's the basis to kind of get to the point where then we can have the next piece of the conversation in place where we start to talk about where are our points of alignment. So our next panel, we've got some great folks from across the region who do work around social services and affordable housing. So I'd like to just go across the panel, starting with Bill, and have folks introduce themselves and say where they're from and a little bit about what they do.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Bill Hall. I'm a Lincoln County Commissioner. I'm in my third term already as a commissioner. I'm one of those commissioners who is a member of the CCO Board of Directors. I'm also co-chair of the Early Learning Hub, co-chair of Oregon's Ending Homelessness Advisory Council. I spent 4 years on the Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Programs. I'm on the Board of Directors of Neighborhood Partnerships, an Oregon nonprofit.
I'm Martha Lyon. I'm the Executive Director of Community Services Consortium. Community Services Consortium is a community action agency. It is a network of 18 agencies throughout Oregon. Every single community has a community action agency, and then there are about 1,000 nationwide. They're directed by the community, hence the name Community Action, and the whole idea is to take the kind of action in each community that makes sense for that community, help people move out of poverty. So the common goal is really to help people move from that crisis state to a place where they can build assets and increase their, you know, the term of the day is resilience, but it really is true. That's a good word for it. Increase their ability to weather the crises that happen through life. It was amazing to me when I looked at our current priorities how much all of them have a health component. So I'll talk a little bit about that. But when we think about programs that affect health, I just want to tell you about one program, and that's the Gleaning Program. There are 7,000 gleaners in Lynn and Benton County. These are all low-income folks, and on their own time and on their own dime, they collect food from farmers, and they collect wood, and they distribute it in their own network. And the reason this is important to health is the person who's going out and gleaning, and then they have an adoptee. Those adoptees often don't see anyone except for the gleaners who come to deliver food, medication, toilet paper, spend some time with them. So this is a network that I think has a big implication for health.
Thank you, Martha. I'm Donna Holt. I'm the director of the Lynn-Benton Housing Authority. The Housing Authority's affordable housing, we will keep developing when and wherever we can develop because we know there's a shortage of housing like never before. And we know that if you build it, they will come. The message is getting sent to the medical end of the spectrum that you need housing to be successful. Housing needs the services and medical and other services too to be successful. We manage our properties and we know that. We deal with the families, their transportation to medical appointments. We work with mental health directly on a couple of our properties. So the services provided are essential to the success of those individuals living there and that they continue to be able to reside in those properties and that we continue to be able to provide that place to live. And it's a community that brings all that together. So I am going to pass this on to Jim and let him continue this wonderful story and talk about all of our collaborations and possibilities.
I'm Jim Moorfield. I think one of the best ways of saying what Willamette Neighborhood Housing does is starting by asking you a question to answer just silently in your own minds. At its best, home to me means blank, fill in the blank. At its best, home to me means. Whatever your answer was, that's what we're trying to do as a private nonprofit organization addressing people's housing needs. And we talk about affordability, we talk about supply, but we are in the home business. We are in the business of helping people have the opportunity to be able to answer in a positive way. Home to me means love, nourishment, safety, stability, learning, a place where people care for me, a place where I feel safe around other people, a place where I'm nourished and fed. I mean, you could go down the list. That's what we're trying to do. Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln counties combined, there's about 30,000 households that are spending more than they should on housing.
I'm guessing there were maybe 100 participants at the workshop. It was really more of a workshop than a forum, I thought. And I asked one of them why he came. Carl, you're here at this meeting on housing and health. And why did you come and what do you hope to get out of it?
Very good question. I came because I feel like we need to do a better job in our counties and state on taking care of folks that are in need of housing. And this is a collaboration of just so many different agencies and so many different kinds and types of agencies that we can meet together, think through, think creatively, figure out what the values are, and the list goes on. And so I was hoping to walk away with today, seeing us move forward and closer to becoming that unit of agencies to be able to handle the housing crisis better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the panel discussion on coordinated care organizations, CCOs, included Frank Moore of Linn County Public Health, Rebecca Austin of Lincoln County Public Health, Tatiana Dierwichter of Benton County Public Health, Bill Bushka, Oregon Health Authority, and the facilitator for this was Kim Whitley of the Intercommunity Health Network, and that's the CCO that serves Benton, Lincoln, and Linn counties. Now we'll hear some short excerpts from the panel.
Public health, depending on how you define it and what arena you're in, it changes. In Linn County, there are respective programs for alcohol and drugs and mental health alongside that, as well as programs for individuals with developmental disabilities. Public health does, however, take the lead when it comes to the community health improvement plans, or has historically, to really begin looking over time, doing community health assessments, determining where the inequities and disparities exist, and begin to create a framework or a structure that looks forward in terms of the future and how we resource public health, mental health, alcohol and drugs, and other services in the community.
So one of the other key findings that came out of that mental health promotion project was from families and individuals was the challenges they face in navigating complex systems. And when you think about when we're dealing with the issue of housing, most of our folks have experienced a lot of the other social determinants on that list. They're often stressful, there's a lot of trauma, and we expect them to figure out this whole complex system. So I think part of the team needs to be new kinds of care coordination, health navigation, universal care management, case management models that support the whole medical home, the whole neighborhood, the whole village, if you will. We have examples of that in places in our region. We have best practices that show that this works. And so that's another area I think we can do some new investment in the coming years.
I think even public health is in a rejuvenation, modernization spirit right now because so many people were uninsured. We really have been functioning in our public health departments as sort of safety net clinics. So people that didn't have insurance could be assured that they could come to our clinics and get some sort of care, especially if done immunizations, communicable disease, and STD kind of exams and testing and treatment. So we are beginning to fade from that because more and more people have insurance and they now can go to their primary care medical home, which is a real big push. So that's really freeing public health up to do what we really consider is the meat and potatoes of public health work, which is things like this happening. So really addressing the determinants of health. Really where we want to focus our efforts now, changing policy, changing the conditions where people can live, work, and grow. So Frank mentioned that we are heavily involved in community health assessments. So we're the data geeks in your communities. We like to collect data. We like to figure out what's going on so that we can begin to hold meetings like this where we bring all the stakeholders together to really talk about how we can solve this, because public health can't do this alone. That's a really critical thing. We can offer expertise and resources to our communities, but really public health's job is to convene stakeholders and partners and interested community members to help us really battle these big issues that we're beginning to address, which is really exciting. We have very limited abilities to address environmental issues, and the asthma and mold issue is a perfect example where we get calls pretty much daily, I would say, living on the coast, of conditions people live in with black mold. And we have no resources for them. We have nothing except for to refer them back to their, usually landlords, to try to correct the problem. So that's a very sad thing, because you know that these people are already living in horrendous conditions, don't have many supports, are struggling, and we can't really help.
The only thing I would add is some of the changes that Rebecca just described over the last decade, both at the federal level with Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's new focus on social determinants of health, and some of the changes in our region, moving from a direct service kind of model, particularly in health promotion, to a health policy kind of focused model. And it's changing our workforce, kind of people we recruit to do this work. If you call the Benton County Health Department, you won't get anyone who will come and probably staff your health fair, because it's really something that's shifted in terms of who in our community is already doing that, and really using our staff now to help around convening community conversations, helping the community look at data and interpreting that. What does that mean for our neighborhood or our families? Planning, alignment, just like today, and having partnerships that come together around very targeted work. And so that's something in each of our three public health departments. We're on a journey. We're all in different places, but in general, that's a huge new emphasis in public health. I guess I would just share from Benton County's experience, housing and transportation are two of the key areas. And this has been a really wonderful experience for our community, because it has forced public health and mental health providers to start learning about housing and transportation. And it's forced us to learn new languages in the areas of community development and land use planning and transportation. And I would say for those partners, they have learned a lot about how do you engage communities. How do you make sure all voices are at the table? How do you make sure you use data to really address disparities? It's been a wonderful synergy, and some exciting work is coming out of that. And so one of my hopes for this day and next few years with our CCO and our region is that we can scale that up and do that regionally. We have wonderful leadership across many different organizations. We have the Council of Governments.
Thank you, Tatiana. Well, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the Community Advisory Council requirements and the expectation from the state level.
Thanks, Kim. It was really important at the state level, as we've talked about this coordinated care organizations, a lot of money going into them. They control all the health services in the systems and in the regions where they are housed. From the state perspective, it's really difficult for us to have that accountability, to really watch what's going on all over. So it was really important for us, and one of the key parts of the model is local governance. And part of that local governance structure are the community advisory councils across the state.
Thanks for listening. This is just a brief glimpse of some of the thoughts that our agencies working in health and in housing are thinking about. The Health and Healthcare Forum is produced by Roberta Hall. Theme music was composed by Laurie Childers and played by Laurie Childers and Kent White.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winter Folk 28, a celebration of music, community, and service on February 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Winterfolk, an annual benefit for Sisters of the Road, will feature singer-songwriter, author, and social activist David Roth, headlining along with performers Casey Neal, Sky in the Road, Dan Weber, and Kelly Bosworth. Again, that's Winterfolk 28 on February 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill two vacancies on the Board of Directors. The Board will elect the new directors at the February Board meeting. Are you interested in nonprofit governance and in helping to shape the future of your community radio station? Do you have 10 to 15 hours per month to support KBOO? Then this may be just the right opportunity for you. The application and instructions are posted on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, and paper copies are available at the station. In order to be eligible to fill one of these two vacant seats on the KBOO Board of Directors, you must be a KBOO member and you must submit a complete application by either emailing the document at kboocommunity@gmail.com, or by mailing or dropping off the completed documents to the station to the attention of Timothy Welp, KBOO Community Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please send in your application by 5 p.m. February 15, 2016. If you have any questions, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com. Thank you for your support of Community Radio.
And now, the KBOO News at noon for Monday, February 8th, 2016. In local news, clean air activists are holding a community meeting tonight to discuss the recently publicized high air pollution levels in Southeast Portland. The meeting will be held tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at 3605 Southeast 28th Avenue, two blocks south of Powell on 28th. That meeting will be followed by another meeting tomorrow night from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Cleveland High School's cafeteria. The Cleveland High School meeting will involve the Multnomah County Health Department, the Oregon DEQ, the Oregon Health Authority, and numerous local politicians. The suspected source of the K